You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Magical Moments with Elena Chapman, the place for you to break free from the norm and celebrate your life, because what we believe in our hearts becomes our reality. This is Magical Moments with Elena Chapman.
Welcome to Magical Moments, and I'm your host, Elena Chapman. And as you know, it is a show about that ease and betterment in your life. And who can't use a little bit of that, right? And that's why this show is so wonderful. All right. I was thinking, because right now in everywhere around the world, there is so much fear. So much fear coming in on all different levels, from levels of the extreme to levels of just that's just keeping us from seeing the opportunities that are really available to us right now. Fear is a funny little emotion. It covers so many. Now, it is interesting. If people know me, they always say, "You don't have any fear, Elena." Well, I don't have any fear like you may have fear. But I have my own particular little fears, and I've learned to deal with them. I don't think they're very extreme, and that's just because I just didn't have use for a lot of them. And I decided at quite an early age that I just didn't have use for it. I didn't see why I had to limit myself, which not everybody comes to that realization, and I did. But let's really examine this, because when we have fear in our life, just I'll give you some, for instance, it can go so extreme that you are constantly beating yourself up. And my guest today actually is all about talking about that, which I think is very exciting, because right now in our time when we're dealing with so much in the world, the coronavirus, unstable in the marketplace of our economics, everything seems to be turning topsy-turvy. We find ourselves in our home. There's a lot of fear that can start attacking us. But this is the thing. You have a choice. You can be really fearful and let it affect everything you do, every decision you make, everything you see. Or you can put it aside, choose, just say to myself, okay, I'm not going to think that all the grocery stores are empty. I'm going to just go where I know I can really get something and just see. I did this the other day, as a matter of fact. And when I walked into the grocery store, it was full. I don't know where everybody's going where it's empty. I don't care. I don't want to go there. I want to go where it's full, right? Turn off things that scare you. You have a choice. And it's funny. And people will say, "Oh, Elena, come on, be real." No, my dear. I don't want to be real. Because if real brings me to where you are in all that fear, no thank you. You can celebrate that yourself. But I don't experience the same thing you do because I am not living in the fear. It's a choice. So, start to look at yourself a little. Say, is this really founded? Am I really going to live where there's no toilet paper on this whole world? Am I really going to live where we are left abandoned from everything? No, you don't. My next guest, Amy Ehler, is a master women's leadership and life coach, keynote speaker, and best-selling author. Now listen to this. I love this. Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves and Reform Your Inner Mean Girl. Yes, I like that. Amy, this is going to be so fun. Amy is on a mission to stop women from self-bullying. Oh, so perfect for today. And being so darn hard on themselves so that they can make their greatest possible contribution. After being a top producing sales executive, very good, she entered the world of coaching 2 decades ago and has touched the lives of over 150K people. She is the host of a celebrated Amy Asher Show podcast. She has been a featured keynote speaker on stages at places like Google and Oracle and has appeared on countless TV and radio shows, of course. We always try to bring you the very, 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 very best. She leads a powerful women's group, and it's a leadership incubator called Rise and Lead. And it helps women confidently rise into the income, impact, and contribution they desire and deserve. And with that, let's speak to Amy Ehler. Hello.
Hello, Alina. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, and it's Amy Ehlers. I realized right before we started, I forgot to give an overview of how to pronounce my last name. So it's Amy Ehlers, and I'm
fantastic.
Just so excited to be here with
you. Thank
you
so much. Yeah, that one
was welcome.
Very nice. I like that. So tell us a little bit. Now, I know you write about this inner mean girl and this fear, but what does that have to do with what's going on now? Because, and actually it has a lot to do with what's going on now, because if we're ever going to beat ourselves up, if we're ever going to let that fear creep in, it's now when our whole world has turned into a total upside down chaos.
Yes. You know, one of the things that I always like to say, one of the metaphors that we like to use in my work, and it's in both of my books as well, is that, you know, we have this broadcasting station inside our head. And at any moment, we can tune into the FEAR fear channel, where your inner mean girl, your inner bully, your inner critic is broadcasting 24/7.
Yes.
But we can also change the channel. We can change the channel over to the LOVE love channel.
That's
where what
choice.
I like to call your inner wisdom is broadcasting 24/7.
Yes.
And so at any moment when things are going to happen in the world, we are going to have things like this incredible pandemic. We're going to have things like the stock market crashing. You're going to have things like loved ones dying and passing and going to the other side. You're going to have times when you lose your job. You're going to have times when you miss the bus, right? Things happen.
Exactly. That's life. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. But we have a choice of where we're going to broadcast from. We have a choice of what channel we're going to tune into and how we're going to react to those things.
And it is. It is a choice of reacting.
Yeah.
It totally is a choice of reacting. So you can be in this place. All right, I'm stuck in the house with all these kids, and I have to homeschool, and I am not a teacher. And I also have to work, and I have to get an income. That's another issue right there. So here we are with all this change, and we have to sit down and make the choice, because we could go off to a full-blown panic, you know? Our whole world has been turned upside down. Very easy. Or we could go totally stir crazy with kids in the house. So so either way, how do we tap into, I mean, what is this love channel? What is it about? What is it really? It sounds nice, and I'll get out my daisies, but what is it?
Well, that is the place where that voice of truth is available to us, where we can quiet ourselves in the midst of chaos. And I'm a busy working mom with two daughters that I'm now homeschooling, a very full household with a dog that also wants to be walked and fed.
Batman, my dog, right? Yeah.
And so
I do get you.
Yeah. So there is this moment where we're either going to collect evidence of why to be afraid or collect evidence of the love that's happening. So when we're tuned into this love channel, we see our neighbors that are putting out some canned goods and some toilet paper in case anyone in the neighborhood needs it.
Where we can
be the ones. I'm organizing a virtual dance party. Right.
Yes.
Neighborhood, like, come out on your front lawn 5:30 on Friday night and let's actually have a dance party.
I love that. That's so fun.
We can wave and we can do that, have a cocktail or mocktail, whatever suits
you. Oh, it's like Italy. I love that.
Yes, exactly. Right. So, like, all the things coming out from Italy, from Spain, where they're going out on their balconies and they're singing, that is the love channel.
You know what I just started? I just started this on Facebook. Actually, people are loving it. And it's kind of along those lines. It's more because I don't live in a neighborhood. So I have to go on the computer to do stuff. But I started a Light of the World meditation where it's like a visualization where we get that whole light going all around the world, soaking in, coming and just surrounding all people, all water, land, mountains. You just see the white light fill the world and push out the dark. And people are loving it. That's Wednesdays at 1. And I'll tell you, it's being proactive in that love, isn't it?
It is. It is. And that's the thing, is that when we're in these times where darkness is so abundant, there's also an abundance of light. There really is. And that contrast allows us to tune into that light just as much as process the darkness that's happening.
You know, and it's hard. It's hard for people. I get it. Because when you, I mean, turn on Facebook, other than my meditation. But I do have to say, that's what started me to do that meditation. Because when I went on Facebook, oh my gosh, if I saw one more terrible post about, oh, we're up this much now for the coronavirus. Oh, no, we're over here. And nothing is the same. Everybody's saying something different. So on all social media. So you're looking at what's real, what's not real. Nothing is real. That's what I decided. But it's like this craziness and the fear. And you turn on the TV and again, more stuff. You turn on the radio, so more stuff. You just hear constant downer. You constantly hear stock market just plunged another 500, da, da, da. You hear this. And so when you're living what you think is this reality, this is your reality. If you think it's your reality, it is your reality. So all of a sudden, your reality is just falling. It's in a free fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when people are in that state and we're saying, okay, but you got to tune into that love channel. And I agree with you 100%. Don't get me wrong. I always play devil's advocate, okay? So when you are in that state and I'm free falling, that's how it feels. I got to have some control. And where's my control? That's really what people are scared of the most. They've lost control.
Yeah, so
they're falling, free falling. That's why they're free falling, no control. So you're telling me to tune into this love channel. Hun, I can't even find the channels. Do you know what I'm saying? They're in such a zone, they're spinning. Yeah. So what can they do to start gaining their footing again?
Perfect. So I have a process, a tool that is very simple and incredibly powerful that I've developed over these last 20 years of coaching to all different people from all walks of life, and it's called the Wake Up Call 3-Step Process. So let's do this right now together.
Yeah, let's. I love that.
Okay, good. So here's the first step. This is step number one. You're in that moment. You're in that free fall. You know that you're tuned into the fear channel. You read one too many news articles. You went to the grocery store and there was empty shelves. You know, whatever the case may be, you're scared you're going to, you know, whatever it is. And you can use this literally when you're mildly irritated all the way when you're in a fear spin, when you're in that free fall.
Yes, yes.
So here's the first step. The first step is to ask yourself, what is my inner mean girl saying? What is my inner mean girl saying? Now, this is counterintuitive, right?
Help.
Because we're talking about changing the channel, and I get it. But here's the thing. When we're feeling those negative emotions, especially if we're in a free fall, our inner mean girl, our inner critic, is right there with a megaphone shouting her big fat lies.
Yes.
And so just like a tantruming two-year-old, I don't know any of you that have, you know, our parents, aunties, uncles, you name it. If you have a tantruming two-year-old, especially if you're in a public setting and you have a tantruming two-year-old and you try to immediately go, well, no, everything's fine, honey. We're good. What happens? The tantrum
they yell louder.
Gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right?
Yeah, very loud. Yes.
Right? But what if you sit there and you hold space for that tantruming two-year-old to just have their fit and have their say? That's when it starts calming down. So you have
very
to, in this first moment, ask, what is my inner mean girl saying? And you can write this in a journal with big red marker. You can yell it out loud if you're not around other people. You can say it in your mind if you're in the middle of a meeting at work or on a conference call and you're freaking out, right? What is your inner mean girl saying? So she might be saying things like, oh my gosh, we're going to run out of food. Oh my gosh, all the grocery stores, the supply chain isn't there. The economics are going to go into the...
I'm going to lose all my money.
I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to end up homeless and alone and dead on the street. Right? So just go to that horrible place. This is what our inner critics do. This is what they're designed to do. They run the worst case scenario. So let her go all the way down to what I call that low blow, big fat lie. You're a failure. You're going to end up alone. Everyone in the house is going to die of starvation. Whatever, right? Those horrible things. And just go, right? And I love that you're laughing, Elena, because it is so absurd.
It is.
Where we go to in our mind.
When we write it down or when we voice it to another person, don't you find that we all say, we start to laugh because it's so outrageously funny?
Oh, it is.
Because it's not real.
Absurd.
It is. It's really, I think the listeners really, really need to know that. Write it down. In fact, write it down and have a friend say it back to you. Oh my gosh, when you hear somebody else reading your terrible mean girl stuff back that you just can't, it sounds so incredibly funny. I've done that. And they just start laughing. It's like, that is what has been bothering me. This is what has been weighing me down. This is where I go when I'm at my most vulnerable and it tears me up. This silly thing. It really does. It, once you put it out in the open, it's like, oh my God, that's nothing, you know?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, I've led workshops for many years and I often will have women do this process in partnerships. And when they voice it and the person says, what is your inner mean girl thing? And they voice it, it's just, both of them can sometimes start laughing. Sometimes there's tears, whatever. But it's such a relief because the thing is, when you're in that free fall, you need to, you can't just change the channel. There's no way. That's called denial, spiritual bypassing, whatever we want to call it. We need to really get in there.
Spiritual bypassing. I like that.
Yeah. We need to feel it. So then when you're in that moment, you have that low blow lie. You hear that, and then you're kind of like, I always picture my inner mean girl kind of stomping her foot and going, so there, right? Like that moment. Then you go to step two. Only then do you go to step two. You let that rant happen until it ends, and then you go to step two. And so, everyone, you can do this right now with us.
Close your eyes,
as long as you're not driving or flying a helicopter or whatever, operating heavy machinery. Close your eyes. We take a deep breath. And we ask, what does my inner wisdom know? What does my inner wisdom know? And since that inner mean girl has had her say, and you can just hear even like my whole body just now just went, oh.
Yes.
I can hear it in my voice. It's down like four octaves into this low place of groundedness.
Yes.
And then there's your inner wisdom. And of course, this is you tuning into that love channel. It's you being able to tune into your voice of truth in the moment, and that calm truth will sweep over you, and she'll respond, and she'll say, sweetheart, actually, the supply chain is pretty strong here. And you know what? We have four bags of rice in our cupboard right now. And you know what? We have some money in the stock market, but we also have some money in our checking account right now. And we even have a couple, some room on some credit cards if we need to, if there's an emergency.
Right.
And you know what? We're going to be okay. And we live in a neighborhood where people are going to help us. And we have that emergency fund set aside. And you know what? The world's going to be okay. This too shall pass.
This too shall pass. Yeah.
Right? This too shall pass. We're going to get through this.
It's
really in community. Yeah.
It's really funny because if people, you know, there's a lot of energy in this fear, panic mode channel. This there's a lot of energy. And when we tap into our inner wisdom, that very soft, beautiful voice that's positive, that gives ideas, gives us we see the opportunities from there.
Yes.
But it speaks so soft and it sounds so gentle that we come from this high voltage energy. And when we get there, it feels good, but we don't always believe it. Do you see what I'm saying? Because it's not, it doesn't sound as powerful. And this is one thing and that we misunderstand, I think. I want to bring this up. It might not sound as powerful. However, and it doesn't sound as proactive. Let's put it that way. Because it's saying, well, we've got what we need in this way. And we've got, and if you're a doer, 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 you're saying, yeah, but what do I need to do? I need to do something. You're used to doing that. You're on the drive. You're busy. You're always doing something. But it's allow yourself to feel that. Allow yourself to feel that place of it's going to be okay. I don't have to do. Let's just calm that energy to the do energy. I think is more the energy that people. Gosh, we run around chasing our tails normally. Now, all of a sudden, when we listen to that beautiful wisdom inside, it's more of, you know what? It's going to be okay. We're all right. We can have rice for 3 nights. We can, we can still take a walk, you know. And this is the thing, when you're in that place, that's where you came up with a dance party at 5:30 for everyone. That's where I came up with the meditation. That's where we come up with things for unity and love. Everything starts coming from the love. But you have to get used to, it's more of a, I don't know, it's more of a inner warmth, an inner calmness, an inner knowing that you're tapping into. And it's just as powerful, but not with fire, but with water. If you want to equate,
I love that.
If you want to equate the two, really, one is fire, fire, do, 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 and one is water, just as powerful. By the way, water puts out fire.
I love that. I love that. Yeah.
And isn't that what you're saying in so many ways?
It is. And what I'd also say is I just encourage people to get into a dialogue with their inner wisdom. Nurturing the relationship with your inner wisdom, with that voice of truth, because you can say to her, okay, that's great that we have the rice. That's great that there's that. Now, what do you want me to do, inner wisdom? And she'll direct you into a completely different action than your inner mean girl.
Totally.
Night
and day.
Completely different action.
Yeah.
And she's also, I always say to people, your inner wisdom is your voice of truth. So she'll also say, sweetie, get out of the relationship. Honey, put the cookie down. Stop going for the pints of ice cream.
Yes.
It's not helping you.
Yes.
But she will be your truth teller, but she will direct you to, you know, do those things from such love.
Yeah.
Because she loves you versus shaming you versus making you belittling you into these different things. So, yes, we want to be in action. Yes, we want to be doing it, but we want to be have the fuel for that action be love and inspiration instead of fear and shaming, which is what our inner mean girls do.
You know, where did this come? This little mean girl who sits in there with her braids and just stomps her little feet and has a very big mouth and yells at us. Okay. Yes. So where did this girl come from? And
really? Such a great question. So before we go there, I just want to say I have to wrap up the three-step process because we've done one and two.
Oh, let's do it.
Tell everybody three.
Yes.
Yeah, because we got into some wonderful conversation there and I know that there'll be that hanging thread. So step three is really simple. It's a neuro-linguistic programming and NLP technique, and it's where you do some sort of gesture, like a little small gesture, a movement, if you will, while repeating your inner wisdom's truth.
Oh,
so you repeat back your inner wisdom's truth. For me, I put my hand on my heart. Sometimes I have clients who open their chest, like whatever movement works for you. So step one is, what is my inner mean girl saying? Let her rant. Step two is, close your eyes. Take a deep breath.
Interesting.
What does my inner wisdom know? And step three is repeat back your inner wisdom's truth while doing a movement to really lock in that truth.
It does.
And what that does is it really locks it in. It allows you to repeat back, you know, I have lots of rice while holding your heart rate. I have rice in there. The stock market's going to recover. We're going to be okay. We live in a neighborhood. We're going to help ourselves. Taking those actions, whatever that truth is, while doing that movement, that little gesture. And it really does help. And it goes into the brain science, which dives perfectly into where we're going next, around how our brains work and around these neural pathways.
Yeah.
And so when we look at this inner mean girl voice, as you were saying, Elena, where does it come from? You know, when we look at it, our inner mean girls, our inner critics, it's part of human development, part of brain development in the brain. And it happens around age 6 or 7 in human development, where we get this inner dialogue beginning, this inner dialogue, you know, that science has shown us we think about 60,000 thoughts per day, and most of them are negative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Most of them are the thoughts that we thought last week, last year, and 10 years ago. They're habits of thought.
And we get those from our environment, people, how we're treated. I mean, they have to come from somewhere. They just don't bloom.
All the above, really.
Right, right.
That's why age, you know, when you look at people saying, you know, age 5 and below is where so many of our habits are ingrained into us.
Yes,
habits
exactly.
Thought, our belief system. And a belief is just a thought that you think over and over and over again until it becomes your truth.
Exactly.
So, right?
Exactly.
This is so powerful to look at the development of the inner critic. As a mom, I watch this. I have a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old. And the long-awaited baby number 2 finally arrived. I'm so grateful. And so when I look at this,
beautiful.
My 12-year-old has a whole inner dialogue as a 12-year-old, as a tween especially. A lot of it is negative in adolescence, as we can imagine. But my 6-year-old, she just turned 6. She actually doesn't quite have this going on yet.
No, it's
around
learned.
6 or 7, it really is in the moment. There's this in the moment, there's not this inner dialogue happening. And
right.
So around age 6 or 7, we develop the inner critic. And it is part of our reptilian brain, our amygdala, our fear center in our brain that really is that place where this comes from. And it's about protection.
It is. It is always about protection.
It is, right?
Yeah. And it does really seem, I wasn't a little boy. I was a little girl. But I remember back, it seeds from about 6 on, you know, they're planting seeds. And we collect all those terrible, most of our thoughts come from 1 to 6, 1 to 5. But then they kind of seed. We don't totally believe them. But they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep being reinforced by teachers, by parents, by the media we watch, everything. But then, all of a sudden, boom, hormones. In middle school. Oh, my gosh, what's happening to my body? Oh, my gosh, it's not happening to her yet. Oh, am I weird? Oh, my gosh, now how should I wear my hair? Oh, she wears her hair over there. Oh, I got to be accepted. Oh, I don't want to stick out. No, too many weird things are happening to me. I don't want to stick out. And this boy thing is now happening. What is this? And why do I feel this way? I used to think he was a jerk. You know, you got so much going on and your mind goes into this place like all the stuff that you've been growing up with that has been seeding inside you starts to suddenly bloom. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you are growing too fast. And yes, your hair does look ridiculous. And that's where the mean girl just starts to bloom. That is like the perfect garden for a mean girl to come.
It's so true. And then when you look at it, it's like then the inner mean girls turn into outer mean girls.
Yes. Bullying
right?
And
have the outer
judging.
Mean girls, the bullying and the judging and the
it's
so hard.
I have 3 boys. Okay.
Mm.
And my boys always say, boy, those girls are so mean to each other. You are listening to Magical Moments with Elena. We'll see you very soon.
Thanks for listening. Your weekend continues with Magical Moments featuring Elena Chapman right now.
Welcome back to Magical Moments. I'm your host, Elena Chapman, and we're here with Amy Ehlers. All right. And she's got a really good thing here, really helping people to, oh my gosh, that mean girl inside. You know, and I know that we're talking about women, but guys, I know secretly you have the same thing. I know you don't talk about it as much, but I hear it. I have 3 boys. I hear that sometimes. So you can apply the same thing to your life. All because we're talking about women. We're not that different. We just show it more. Now, Amy, I want to go back. Now, you had 3 steps, and you talked about the neuro-linguistic method, okay? The linking a movement with the desired action. And I do know this. I know this technique, and I love it. I love it. I wanted to ask you a question, actually. I am... When I was going, and hopefully you can relate it to what you're doing, when I was going through my divorce, I was in court a lot, and I don't like court. I don't like court. It's a horrible energy. I know I'm not original in that thought, but really it would make me physically ill. And it's just a heavy, heavy energy in there. So, and I would get disemboweled. So like whenever I got on the stand, they would make mincemeat out of me. I mean, total freaking mincemeat, because they were taking me by surprise. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't there. I was too much in every, it was overwhelming for me. Okay. So after the third time of being made a fool, I thought to myself, okay, this has to change. This is getting really wearing on me. I don't like this. So I developed my own little program at every stoplight. Awesome. It is. And I think it's sort of, but I linked a phrase, like every stoplight I'd stop and I took James Allen's little phrase that I love so much, be still my heart. And I trained myself every time I said, be still my heart. I would train myself to just relax my shoulders, take deep breaths, relax my hips, just let them disconnect. Mm. Let the hands get heavy, let the whole breath and everything fill my body. And then I would just breathe deeply and I'd get into a calm, special space. Okay, so like I trained myself to go into like this little teeny meditation where I could just get that special space and get focused into my wisdom. And did I ever use a movement? No, it was more of a phrase.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can also train yourself with a phrase. And because when then anytime I was on the stand, actually, it helped me tremendously. When I got on the stand, I did it. And oh, my Lord, in that voice of wisdom, I saw why I was getting disembogulated. I could see why the chaos was happening because I wasn't involved in it. And I could see that when I answered the questions, it was what happened between the questions, how the lawyer would look at me, how he would roll his eyes or whatever, or try to really discredit me in other ways. And because I was aware now from my wisdom, I could change that whole event. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
That is so powerful.
But isn't that exactly what you're talking about?
It is.
It's the power of this. Yeah.
Yes. And it's about supercharging your brain to associate something with something, right? So in the case of the three-step process, we talked about telling your brain, when I put my hand on my heart, I'm associating it with tuning into my inner wisdom. I'm associating it with literally changing the channel to the L-O-V-E love channel, right?
Perfect. Yes.
So that's what we're doing in that moment. So my clients, when they work with this three-step process over and over again, and they keep doing that repetitive gesture of like, this is my inner wisdom gesture. When I put my hand on my heart, all of a sudden, all of those memories, that supercharged feeling comes back in, right? When we look at when people get have a moment where they get triggered into a trauma response.
Right.
It's the same thing.
It's a reverse trigger. Yeah, it's a reverse trigger. That's what I was teaching myself. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So when you put your hand on your heart, you're actually feeling, you're just saying, wait a minute, I'm going to breathe here. And oh my gosh, there is that wisdom. And oh my gosh, I do love my girls so incredibly much. You start going into that channel, correct?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And here's the thing that's so amazing, and I'm so happy I'm remembering to talk about this. I'm getting really excited.
I can tell.
Here, let me tell you, you know, this time where everything is disrupted in our lives because of this pandemic that we're in, because of the coronavirus, because so many of us are sheltering in place, which I really prefer that to lockdown, by the way. Can we stop referring to it as lockdown or even social distancing? It's like, no, let's say we're sheltering in place. We're keeping physical distancing.
Yes.
This is important. Words and language are important.
They're very important.
Very important, right? Because lockdown, I don't know about you, that makes me want
prison.
To crawl the walls, right?
Yeah, well, it's prison. No, really, and think of it, sheltering. Just have the listeners, guys, say the words, because I teach this actually in a workshop, the energy of words. It's so important. So when we say sheltering, okay, now we're protecting. We are keeping safe. We are building love in our shelter. We can build that shelter any way we want. When we say lockdown, Just say it. Close your eyes and say it. It spirals down. It spirals down into heaviness and drudgery and chains of a prison. Just everything is not good. And there is no opportunity to create love because there's nothing you're locking down everything. I see doors shutting with locks everywhere. The words we choose every day in our life have energy. And those that we choose create our mind to open our opportunity and love and to spiral down into chains and none. It's as simple as that.
Yes, I love that. And, and you know, here's the thing is that when we look at, I know that everybody that's listening right now, every single one of you, you have some habit, some good habit that you've been wanting to start for a while. For some of you, maybe you've really been wanting to start meditation, like a solid morning practice, a solid meditation practice. For others, maybe it's like, you know, I really want to start exercising more and taking better care of my body and really honoring it as the temple. Maybe it's about how you speak to your kids or your husband or your wife or your partner or your loved one. Maybe it's about the way that you're speaking to yourself, whatever it is. I know that everybody always has on their list some sort of habit, keeping better care of your house, right?
Yes.
Whatever it is. Now, right now, everything is so disrupted. It is the perfect time for you to start a new habit.
Yes.
Because you are out of your routine.
Because there is no norm, folks.
There is no
You norm. Can create it.
Yes.
It's true.
This is such an amazing opportunity. We were talking at the, you know, when you did your introduction here, Alina, at the beginning of the show around, you know, here we are in this crazy time and the chaos and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, and now there's an opportunity, like you were saying.
Yes.
So this is one of the opportunities. So I want everyone listening right now to choose a habit that you want to start right now and say, you know what, for the next 40 days, I'm going to do this habit. I'm going to lay down the new neural pathway in my brain and start a habit by doing this repetitively every day.
I love that. Every day.
It's out of whack anyway.
Little.
So go ahead and infuse in this new thing. You can sneak something in right now. That's the
little. Maybe it's simple as just I'm going to dance around the room for 5 minutes. Or I'm going to increase my water one more cup every day.
Yes.
Baby steps. Do it. Yeah. I love that. And because you now have a shelter versus a lockdown, we have a shelter. Mm-hmm. You know, I would urge, I'm going to add my 2 cents because I just gave this to people. And I think this, on a call that I had, I think this may help listeners out there. And this is a cool little exercise. Definitely do the one habit because you could break the habit by this time is over and have a new habit. Definitely do that. But just get a piece of paper, curl up in a beautiful little chair, put on some music you love, and get a pad of paper and say, okay, what do I want to create in this time? You know, what do I want to create? And you can start just listing the things you want to create in your world right now. Now, I'm not just talking about products and business, but what about the family? You're all in this house together. You're all of a sudden a homeschool teacher. You've got, what do you want to create? What's the environment you want to have? What do you want to be the result of this? Maybe a stronger family, maybe a stronger bond, maybe more fun with the family, maybe a bonding. Maybe with the business, I want to be able to have a new avenue for my business. Maybe I lost my job. Well, what do I want to do with that? What do I have a talent with that I can morph into a different way? This is your time to create. And on this little blank of paper with a glass of wine or a cup of tea, you get a chance to do it. Isn't that a fun exercise?
Love that.
Because this is the new norm, guys. We can do anything. Anything. Once you understand that, oh my gosh, the world is there. It's just open to you. It's just opening to it, getting out of the mean girl fear. And then the world opens up to you. It's very interesting.
Love that.
So with this, with all this, I still understand. I mean, there might be someone out there who's saying, Amy, Elena, I just don't get it. I've worked hard all my life. Now my job, you know, I've worked in the food service forever, and now my restaurant closed, and I'm not the owner. I can't. Where am I supposed to go, and what am I supposed to do? Or I have been working in this place, and it's just closed, and I've got kids to feed. How can I look at the upside when I have this need? Let's address that, shall we?
Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing that I want to say, and this kind of goes back to the three-step process, but the first thing is, please feel your feelings about it.
Yes.
Allow yourself to really feel your feelings about it, because, you know, I've seen this on social media as well, where there was a mom that posted up how disappointed her child who's in senior year is because their prom is canceled, because graduation's getting canceled, all of this
Aww.
Stuff. And then, you know, right? And I mean, it's so disappointing. These are rites of passage for kids, right? This is not some, you know, fluff thing. This is a rite of passage. And a lot of people are having their rites of passage taken away. People are having their jobs taken away, all of these things. And then there was some comments below of like, how dare you post this? People are dying from this virus. And here you are feeling sorry for yourself for this. And I thought,
No. You have to honor your own world.
People judge. Come on.
That like, righteousness.
Mean girls turn into outer mean girls. You know,
yes.
I always say, if you have a bully in your office, at school, no matter where it is, you know, in government, I won't go into the details there, but wherever the bullies are,
disguised
right?
or not, it's still mean.
That's right.
Disguised in righteousness, it's still mean.
Yes. And it's like, I can tell you, if people are being mean to other people like that, they are being so
hard
to themselves.
Yes.
It does not come. Someone that is being kind and compassionate with themselves does not say things like that.
No.
Right. That is not hurt people, as
yes.
the saying goes.
Hurt people, hurt people.
And so,
it's so true. It is.
So true.
And you do have to honor. You have to honor how you feel. It's your starting point, guys. You know, if you've lost your job and you're, God, I'm not going to say just go out and start seeing flowers all around you.
Right.
You've got to say, okay. It's funny. One time in my life, I was almost homeless and really close. I had $200. That's it. To my name, to everything. And I remember, and I tell the story where I gave the $20 to the lady who was homeless with my, so now I have
$180. Right.
One step closer, right? But I remember that's when it hit me. Oh my God, I could be her tomorrow. And I had to register. You don't just sit there and think. The reality has to hit you that this is where I'm at right now. Okay. And until you really face that's where you're at. I lost my job in the food service now because everything's closed. This is where I'm at. That affords you now, because you register it, you feel it, and you really fully understand your position. Instead of running half-cocked into the line of fear, you can actually just say, what do I want to do from it? And take a deep breath and get into your wisdom and think, okay, I need to get a job right now, or I need to develop a job. What do I want to try both? Maybe because I was in food service, do you think some of these restaurants that are doing carry out would like to have me as a driver because they're doing a lot of drop off and pick, you know, I could be a driver for that. Or maybe I could look at some online options. Maybe I could start teaching people about nutrition of a foreign culture or whatever restaurant I was doing. I don't know. You got to tap into your own resources. But when you stop to register how you feel, then you can build on where you're going. If you don't, then you actually are just shoving that motion down deep, and it won't stay there. It'll come out in everything you do. I used to call it popcorn because it just pops out of you. I do,
That's
you know?
True.
It is.
Yeah.
How are you today? Man, I hate it that I lost my job. Popcorn.
Yeah.
That's what happens. It's really funny. So, Amy, you are 100% on the nose with that. They have to feel it in a constructive way. Yeah.
Yeah, grieve it. And, you know, which is, you know, really feeling our feelings and grieving and telling the truth about how we're feeling. It's very different than complaining.
No, it's not complaining.
Right. And I feel like oftentimes those things get collapsed together of like, well, feeling my feelings or feeling a negative feeling means that I'm complaining and I'm a negative person. And it's like, no.
No.
Those are very different. Complaining has no purpose. Processing your feelings has a very important purpose of allowing you to process them and get to the other side of
them.
And
it's two different processes. When I'm venting or well, not venting, but when I'm complaining, it's more to get validation, isn't it?
Right.
Validation for how I'm supposed to feel the anger to feed the anger. But if when you're doing it, when you're actually just, when you're coming to this realization and the acceptance and the surrender of it, you it's more of an inner process. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It is an inner process in it. And it really allows you to then move forward with that clean slate.
Totally.
To move forward into action.
Okay,
you know, I'm gonna get through this. I'm gonna figure it out. And there's no shame in asking for help. There's talk of the government sending money to everybody. There's more. There's going to be more programs developed to help people. There is no shame in taking advantage of all of those things.
It's funny. Well, going back to that story of when I was almost homeless, it's funny how once I accepted, and this is important for people to know, when you accept it and just say, okay, well, I finally decided this isn't where I'm going to stay. And once I did that, then the universe heard. God hears you. He hears you. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, I'm finding an apartment where, and the idea just pops into my head. You can redo this apartment. You can't afford it, but if you offer to redo it, maybe he'll let you stay there. And I said, I redo the floors. Did I know how to redo floors? No! But I was going to learn. Do you see?
Yeah.
And jobs popped in that were not going to be my ever forever job, and they were hard. But I did it. I made lots of money. You have to process how you feel before the universe will say, okay, we're going to help you out of this because you're doing it with a real decision to get out of it.
I love that.
It gives you direction.
I love that.
Yeah.
It does. I like to call it the sparkly breadcrumbs.
God, you've got all these cute little names that I just love. Okay, we'll use sparkly breadcrumbs. I like that.
Right?
So you have these sparkly breadcrumbs. Yeah, describe it because I like that term.
Yeah, well, it's like the sparkly breadcrumbs are the signs, when we pay attention.
Synchronicities.
Like you said, it's like, offer the synchronicities, exactly. Offer to redo the floors, even though you don't know how, and you find yourself saying that. And
learn how.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to learn how.
Yeah.
There's things like YouTube. I can figure that out. You know, really paying attention and allowing yourself to be led versus freaking out and trying to overpower every single divine resource that we have and take it into your own hands.
Isn't it funny how we think we have to make everything happen?
Yeah.
And we have... We are so limited in our imagination. We are so limited in what we think we can create. And why is that? It's because, because we haven't seen it. It's very hard for us to see. Very few people have developed the imagination to be able to create something they have never seen from something they've never seen. And so when the goal is to create that imagination. But until then, we always stay in what we know. So when we are making something, that's why I say we're spinning around with our tail. Oh, look at what he's doing in business. Oh, I need to do the same thing. We don't move past when we're making things. We're on our ego, and our ego is limited. Yeah.
So true. So true.
But what happens when we surrender?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
There's this feeling of that the universe has your back.
Yeah.
That miracles can happen.
Yes.
That you can find that new pathway, that you can be in the right place at the right time.
And it turns magical. You just won't believe how things just come into your path. You're like, this can't be real. That's what I call the magic of life.
I love that.
Yeah.
And that must be why you named your show Magical Moments.
It is. So here we are in this coronavirus, and we have tamed this. Well, we're in the process of taming our mean girl. But it's gaining that trust in yourself and building that wisdom, you know, building that place that gets stronger and stronger in you, that soft voice that can lead you. That's what's going to bring the magic, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your inner wisdom is always ready to dole out another miracle, to dole out more magic for you. It's just a matter of us listening and getting quiet enough to hear that voice of truth.
Amy, I'm just curious, how did you get in? What was it about that mean girl in you that made you click and say, wait, I got to find another way?
Yeah, you know, for me in particular, I've always been fascinated with human beings. I just love humanity so much.
I do too.
I just think people are so beautiful.
I do too.
And for me, when I first started coaching 20 years ago now, back in 2000, when I first took my first course in coaching, and I was like, oh, this is so amazing. And I started coaching people from different walks of life and started doing my coach training. And I realized how brutal women in particular were to themselves. And it was...
You were in corporate, weren't you?
I was in corporate, yeah.
They can be hard.
I funded. And, you know, here's the thing. I've worked over the years with so many artists. I've worked with moms that are stay-at-home moms. I've worked with women that are leaders inside their organizations. And I've worked with people that don't have any money at all. I've worked with so many people over the years. And I kept thinking that it was going to change if the external circumstances were different. But here's the thing. The inner life has very little to do with the external life.
Yes.
That inner life, there is this through line of women in particular and men that are listening. I know that you know this about the women that you love. And I know that you also have this too. My husband and my dad always say, everything in your books could be said about men too. And
I'm
like, it's so true. No, men are hard on themselves true as well. They're hard on themselves about different things. Women in particular, especially because of the pressure to look a certain way, to weigh a certain weight. There's so much around body image.
There's so much about body. Yeah, I know. Very hard on ourselves. Very hard on ourselves.
And
nothing's ever right.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, both of my books are love letters to women that are hard on themselves. And I get to talk about it because I'm hard on myself. Not because I have it all figured out, but because I have a PhD in this, because I do it to myself too. But the difference is I have the tools in my, you know, the sparkly tool shed in the back, my superpower tool shed, that I know what to do when my inner mean girl shows up. That's what I teach women how to do.
Well, was there an event that had you suddenly begin to start to learn? Well, I mean, what created that urgency in you?
You know, mostly it was from coaching other people. And then the events of becoming a mom happened 12 years ago, almost 13 years ago now.
Yeah.
And I would say when I gave birth to my firstborn, Annabella, I gave birth to an army of inner mean girls. I had never experienced anxiety or worry. That was never, you know, in what I teach, there's 13 different inner mean girl archetypes. And this is something we discovered after working with thousands of women all over the world, is that there's these 13 different archetypes.
Wow, 13 is a lot.
It's the worry. Yeah, the worry wart is one of the archetypes. And I had never had a worry wart. And then I became a mom. And I experienced worry and anxiety for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, is the baby breathing? Is she getting enough milk? Like, I was like one of those crazy moms that was nursing the baby and would put the baby on the, like, want to go to the, at that time they didn't have the scales that you could have at home, but I wanted to, every time I nursed, I wanted to go to the lactation center so I could weigh my baby, nurse her, then weigh her again to know exactly how many ounces of milk she had, right?
Yep. I do know. It's a big responsibility. Yeah.
Oh. So much responsibility.
And I always said if I could get my kids past the first year, I was in heaven.
Right, exactly.
Get myself past the first year.
I know.
Yeah.
It's such a crazy time. And it was really a time for me when I understood worry and anxiety. I had so much more compassion for people who have those worry wart inner struggles, because it is so much. And I realized I was either going to be in fear and anxiety for the rest of my life and be that mom that was on the playground hovering.
Yeah, not a good place.
To really take charge
of
life. And so that became a huge impetus for me and helped me develop this body of work that I've developed.
What's another of the 13?
Yeah, so
13's a lot. I always find they kind of, don't they sort of all intermingle a little bit, though?
They do. But, you know, one of the things that I teach is really getting to know your inner mean girl. This is one of the things that helps disempower her. This is one of the things that helps turn down the volumes. And so I have actually an inner mean girl archetype quiz of the 13 for you to really go, okay, what is
find where you are
on my life? Yeah, because there's the comparison queen inner mean girl. She loves to compare your worst to everyone else's best. Right?
Isn't that convenient?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You're always losing, right? And then there's the achievement junkie inner mean girl archetype. She's the one that has you going to the next achievement no matter what the cost.
Oh.
Right? She doesn't care if it costs you your health. She doesn't care if it costs you your relationship. It's about achievement. And when I work with women at Silicon Valley inside these corporate rooms, let me tell you, a lot of achievement junkies who are like, oh, I never thought about having a relationship or having children. And now I'm 38 years old. I have no relationships outside of work.
Oh, wow.
And my work is my life. And I'm wondering, do I want to have kids? I'm like, okay.
I'm wondering, oh.
You're achievement junkie.
Yeah.
Right? You're achievement
totally
junkie
out of balance.
And, yeah.
Oh, these totally are so cool. How can people find out more about you?
Oh, great. So one thing I wanted to just gift everybody with is access to the free Inner Mean Girl quiz, which you can go to freeinnermeangirlquiz.com.
Love
and
that.
Freeinnermeangirlquiz.com. You'll be able to take a quiz to find out which of the 13 different archetypes, Inner Mean Girl archetypes, is wreaking havoc. And you'll also get an instant deactivator tool to help you work with that Inner Mean Girl archetype.
Got to have that deactivator.
So
that's
really
good.
Fun.
Yeah, I like that.
And then my website is wakeupcallcoach.com.
Okay.
And that's where you'll find out all the things, wakeupcallcoach.com, because Ehlers isn't the most easy last name to spell.
So. Yes, I agree. Oh, well, I love having you on. You gave so much incredible value. And for everyone out there, this is kind of a new time. Don't allow yourself to go into the spinning downward spiral. Just breathe. And stay connected with everybody around you, even if it's at a distance. Namaste.
This has been Magical Moments with Elena, featuring Elena Chapman. If you miss an episode, you can download it now from your favorite podcast platform, including iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn, CastBox, Deezer, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.